Tonight, I have Abby, and Abby is somebody that we know personally and are just really amazed by. I heard Abby's story in a cabin over Thanksgiving, and I I feel like at that very moment, as happens to James and me a lot now, I thought, that's my story. Thank you, Abby. So she said yes, she would tell it, and she's here to share it, and I think you'll all enjoy it just as much as I did that cabin night.
So I was once told that girls aren't strong enough to push boats off the beach if they go dry, their stomachs aren't tough enough to deal with high seas, and they tend to freak out if anything goes wrong in the water, which often does when you're dealing with boats. So I'm an Alaskan girl, so I decided to prove that was wrong. And my story doesn't have a lot to do about the fear that I felt, but kind of a lack of fear where there should have been more fear. I attribute that to now probably an overdeveloped motor cortex in my brain and an underdeveloped amygdala, or the fear center of my adolescent brain. So the story takes place in Homer, Alaska, which is my hometown. I'm 21 years old. I'm home from college for the summer, and I've just landed my first job driving water taxi. It was my first job as a captain, period. I had just got my license that winter over Christmas break. And my bosses were thrilled to have a day off that they haven't had in years because they've been running the company by themselves. So they decided to head up the Kenai and go fishing and leave the company to me, which is cool. So the phone starts ringing in the morning, and there's some people from the Midwest that want to go kayak, hiking, camping. Another three generations of women, they're on a trip of a lifetime, a grandma, daughter, granddaughter. They want to do a little loop to Green Glacier. And so the morning goes as planned. I rent out the kayaks and drop off the grandma and the girls. And as I drop off the kayakers, I'm telling them, you know, the wind's picking up. The weather doesn't look great for today. The forecast isn't good, but the forecast is usually wrong. But I was recommending that they take the day off from kayaking and instead do a hike. I find out later they didn't really listen to my advice, my authoritative 21-year-old advice, and they went kayaking anyway. So after my drop-offs, I head back to the spit to do what I perceived all captains to do in the middle of the day, and go drink black coffee and chat with the crusty old fishermen about boats and gear and water and weather. And as we're doing that, I'm watching the seas sort of build and the white caps, which aren't abnormal for Kachemak Bay, but it was a particularly strange day that day. They were predicting 100-knot gusts, which is about 100-mile-an-hour gusts of wind, and the wind was coming from the southeast, which is a strange direction for Kachemak Bay for it to come. It blows off the Hardin Ice Field and down basically down Kachemak Bay and out, and it's meeting the incoming tide and current and all that, creating kind of this perfect little milieu that's sort of like a washing machine without the suds on the agitation cycle. So anyway, all the charter fishermen have come in for the day. They've decided to get blown off the water. It's not safe for them to be out. And the water taxis aren't driving anymore, and the tour boats, everybody is kind of off the water. And about this time, I'm processing this information thinking, huh, I've got some people over there. I get a phone call, and it is a lodge across the bay, and they said that they just picked up three Midwesterners in the bay. They had capsized, all three of them at once, lost their kayaks, which I personally would have hung on to, anything floating, and they'd been in there 8 to 10 minutes, and they picked them up. They're hypothermic, stable, but I need to come get them. So I'm looking around to see if there's anyone else that can help me out, but there are no boats on the water, and nobody's willing to drive. So I have no choice but to go out and get them. At this time, I'm driving a 34-foot catamaran, which can be a really nice ride sometimes, and it can be really awkward at other times, depending on the water. And this was a particularly awkward experience. I was likening it to sort of playing dodgeball with your eyes closed, bouncing on one foot, and standing on a water balloon or something, because you just never know where it's going to come hit you next. And as it picks up one side of the boat and the other side. And I'm heading over there, accelerating up each wave and decelerating down and losing the horizon in the trough and then gaining it again and trying to gear my way over. I saw these walls of water, which is something I haven't seen before or since, and one time is enough for me. And it's as those gusts come down and they hit the water, they build this like sparkly, real thin wall of water. It's really neat. So I get over to the dock where my people are, and about a dozen Boy Scouts jump on. They're crying, moms are screaming, and an electrical fire had started over at this lodge, due to the high winds, and everybody wanted to get back to the Homer side because they were going to be stranded if I couldn't take them. So I shooed them off and assured them they didn't want to come with me because we were going on a kayak hunt out in the middle of the bay. So they took off, and on come my glazed-eyed, shocked, hypothermic Midwesterners. And back on the Homer side, I had brought with me the strongest guy I knew. I didn't actually know him, but I knew of him, and I had his phone number. So I knew that I wasn't going to be able to pull these kayaks out of the water if we did find them, because they were loaded with gear and loaded with water. So me, the strong guy, and the Midwesterners head out. And we did a little loop around this really exposed part of Yukon Island and didn't have any success finding the kayaks. The Coast Guard called a couple times. They'd found dry bags, and they saw a boat floating its way up to Anchorage through Cook Inlet. And I realized probably my boat right now was more valuable than those kayaks and our lives. Oh, no. And I didn't want to see if my Stormy Seas jacket really worked. I mean, everyone wears them, but I don't know people who have tried them. They're really flimsy. You pull the thing and hopefully it'll help you float. So as I'm pulling back into the harbor, I get another phone call, and it's Grandma, who has lost daughter and granddaughter, over on what I think is the easiest hike over in Kachemak Bay State Park, this little loop. Anyway, they're lost. So drop off, strong man, and the hypothermic folk wander off, and back out into the washing machine, pick up Grandma, listening to a little audio slave to get pumped up for the whole ride back and forth. And we made a safe trip back, and that was the last trip I had to do of the day, and really thankful that it all went according to plan, and I was dry and alive. And we get back, and my last duty of the day is to take Grandma home to her little campsite. I thought, you know, least I could do for her, who's lost her offspring, is bring her to her campsite, which has blown away due to the high winds, leaving only her cooler. So I do what any of us would do and take her to the salty dog. We get a drink. The drink mixes poorly with her medications. I take her to Land's End, check her into hotel room, and head home, wondering if I am a 21-year-old, like, superstar or just really, really lucky. That's my story. Thanks.